hunger in all of our hearts as we welcome Pastor Lou. Praise the Lord.
Hello, hello, hello. Am I on? Is everybody ready this morning for the Word of God?
Amen.
Well, before I begin, my brother, you did the greatest thing you could have done in your walk with God. I did the exact same thing that you just did here. That was the very first thing that God told me to do.
Wow.
Was feed the hungry.
Yes. Yes.
Take care of the poor.
Yes.
I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. I didn't know any of these things, what I was going to do or not do. Mm. All I know is that if I obeyed Him, His promises were true.
That's right, yes.
That's all I knew. If you ask me to quote scripture, I don't know where it is. All I can give you is Matthew 25. Deuteronomy 28 is one of my favorite scriptures because it speaks of the blessing and the cursing. So if you decide, well, I'm not going to be a blessing to anybody. I'm going to keep all the money for myself. Well, then go to verse 17 on down. Those will be all the curses that will follow you around. You know, God is true to His Word. Isn't He great?
Yes, He is.
And I'm glad to be in the house of God.
Yes,
I'm alive and well, thank God. I guess when I get to heaven, I don't have to preach anymore. I just have to do my part in praising and worshiping God every day. Can you imagine that? Praising and worshiping God every day of your life. And some people here, they complain because, oh, we're going too long. We got 3 songs today. You should go to the church where I go. We should go to the church where I go. We go no less than an hour in praise and worship. No less than an hour. And then we have a break in between. We have a meal. And then we come back for the Word. So when you get there at 10 o'clock, don't expect to get out before 1 o'clock. Ain't that a short day? Isn't that wonderful? And, you know, but it's praise and worship that brings you into the presence of God. And my wife had asked me to pray for the veterans. You already did it. And I thank God for that. Because let me tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus was the first veteran who died for you.
That's right.
He was the first. He gave His blood for you because He loved you. And we are called to do no less than to die daily. We can do that daily, every one of us. We can die daily to our friends by giving up our lives for them to have within. That's love. That's true love. Amen? And to talk a little bit about the mission trip that I had down in Mexico. I hadn't been there probably it was exactly a year that I had not gone down to Mexico. And they all knew, and I knew, that it took that long to get back there. But, you know, God touched my heart in a very special way. I was telling Pastor Monette. He says, because I went down there right after having gone through all of this, that never really came up in any discussion or anything in reference to my health and what I had gone through. But I knew that God had said to me, you go down there, I want you to speak to the men. Now, I don't have that in my heart today. If He puts it on my heart, I will. Speak to the men of who they are in Christ. You know, somehow we have forgotten who we are in Christ, both men and women, but specifically to the men. Because men need to stand up and take their authority. Authority in their house, authority in the church, authority at work. Be the man that God has called you to do, to be the head. It doesn't mean that you're more spiritual than your wife. It doesn't mean that you know more than your wife in the things of God. Because, you know, certainly I see a lot of men today who know very little of the Bible, and yet the wives know a lot. And they're more diligent and they're more obedient. That's what I see today in the body of Christ, unfortunately. But men need to take their role, need to take the position that God has given you. It is God ordained for you. Are you hearing me, men? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank you for that one amen. Hallelujah. We need to take that position. We need to take that role that God has planted in us as a man. And so it's good. I'm not going to preach on it today, unless He drives me that way. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, well, mostly my brothers, we need to stand up and take it. Your wife will follow you wherever you go, so long as you follow God. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Men, are you hearing me?
Amen.
The wives I know are hearing me. They already heard me. They're already inside saying, yeah, go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hit them hard. I'm telling you, if we as men take our leadership serious in the things of God, the church will grow mightily. The men will grow mightily, their wives will grow mightily, and the children in those houses will grow mightily. Because a man has to take a leadership capacity in the house. Amen. If you don't lead in the house, you're not going to lead anywhere else. That's true. You might think you're a big boss. You're a big boss because they're paying you big bucks and you're doing whatever you're doing. But if you're not taking that kind of leadership into your house, you're going to lose it. You will have a very weak foundation. And God doesn't go for weak foundation. He builds strong foundations. Amen?
Amen.
All you men are with me?
Amen.
Okay, all right. I don't want nobody complaining. If your wife comes and hits you in the head, don't blame me. It was the Holy Spirit that told her to do that. We've got to blame it on somebody. Well, it's good to be back. God, it feels like I've been gone forever. 6 weeks goes by awfully fast. And today, and before I forget, I have some brochures that I brought on our next three mission works that we're going to do. The next trip that we're taking is in October. We're going down there for 8 days. Into Hermosillo, Mexico. We're going way down. We're going to fly down. And it's one of the very early works that we started with down in Hermosillo. And that is a huge church now. Not because we did anything so huge there. I mean, they were already pretty big. There were about 600 people when we first went there. They went to 3,000. And from 600 to 3,000, that's a big, big church in Mexico and here. Amen? But that's a man of God who has been fixed. Five brothers that are pastors in Hermosillo. Can you imagine that? And so we're going to help establish four mission churches there in Hermosillo. And so we'd love for you guys to come along. It's not that far away. It's only an hour's flight from here, from Tijuana. It'll be 2 hours to get to Tijuana. So it's probably a 3-hour journey just to get there and a little bit more. But it's a fun place. It's a beautiful part of Mexico. You got your poor, you got your rich, and wherever you go. But it's a wonderful place. I hope some of you can go with us. And so there's a brochure there, and there's also one for the Amazon jungle next year. We're going to go to Peru and the Colombian part of the Amazon jungle, and then we will go into Lima, Peru, to visit some of the churches that we know there, and then we will go to Asuliana, where one of our members of our church, when we had our church, we sent them off. He went down there, and now he has two churches there.
Praise the Lord.
And so we're going to be working with those two churches as well. And the ones in Lima, and of course the one in the Amazon jungle. We haven't done much there, but we did buy an awful lot of paint for them. You need paint to paint buildings, and we bought a ton of paint the very first time that we went there. But I'd love to take you. The Amazon jungle is an experience of a lifetime. It's a place that everybody kind of is afraid of because they call it jungle, but this place where we go in Leticia. There are 100,000 residents. So 100,000 residents, not a very small city. You know, it's pretty big. And you have a few cars, but mostly motorbikes. They bring in the cars in through barges or small ships that bring in the cars. And so we're looking to establish new works there with some of their mission churches that they have. And in Suliana and in Lima, it's an experience of a lifetime. And I'm telling you, the jungle, the Amazon jungle is nothing to be afraid of. There are no anacondas where we go. Just bad people. We got bad people. That's what we have there. We got to make sure we get them converted and get them into the kingdom of God. Good strong churches there. Good strong. And then we have, next year I'll be going to, are in communications now with Panama. With a pastor in Panama. I don't know if any of you met Charlie when he came and visited us when we had the church in Costa Mesa. He was a gentleman that we brought him up from Mexico because I spoke to the pastor. I need somebody to help me with my praise and worship team. So they sent Charlie to us. He lived with us for about 4 months. And so they started a whole band and everything, but they go everywhere. They've gone to all kinds of different places not only Panama, Central America and Latin America, and they have a very successful band. And so the lead singer just became a pastor in Panama. And so we have that stirring so that we will probably go to, and definitely we want to get involved in this. Definitely we want to be involved with it. Now, when people come to me with clothing and all excess stuff, I know exactly where to bring it. I don't have to guess anymore. We just get it to you and you get it out. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And what is that thing? I think that's about it. Yeah, I think that's about it. So, when are you guys going to get up and go? When are you guys going to get up and go? Forget your vacations. Those are good. Those are great. Take your vacations. But there are other things that God has blessed you for. And this morning, I'm going to talk about three greats that the Bible speaks of. Three greats that relay to all of us. Three greats that all of us must do and be involved with. Are you hearing me? This is not just for one person. It is for all of us, male or female. It is for us to be involved with in bringing His kingdom down to this earth. Are you hearing me? The whole purpose that we're here for is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost. Yes, we can do other things. We help people. We do other things. And you can speak to people. And you can disciple people. And you can do all those things. And that's part of it. But our purpose is to help God grow the kingdom of God. Could God do this all by himself?
Yes.
You think God could do this all by himself?
Yes.
That's right. He wants fellow workers. He wants his children to work with him to do what he wants done here on this earth. And if we don't do that with him, then it makes it that much harder. He will always wait to find somebody else. You see, he's not going to do it. He wants us to do it. It's like when you want to believe God for a prayer, who does he ask to have faith? You think he has faith? You bet he has faith. But he waits on you to build your faith to get what you want. Isn't that something? He could have asked, he could have given to you when you just thought about it. And he doesn't do that. Thank God. He could give you anything that you want like this. But he wants you to build your faith to the point where you believe that God is going to do it for you. So let's talk about these three greats. Are you ready? Okay, that's 10 of you already. All right. We're going to talk about the three greats. The first great is the Great Commission. Everybody has heard that. The Great Commission. Not the Great Recommendation. It's called the Great Commission. God didn't recommend this. He put it down. He called it the Great Commission. And then we're going to look at the Great Commandment. And the last one that we're going to look at is the Great Compassion. The compassion that God has for us and those who are not yet in the kingdom of God. And remember that God wants us to do exactly what who did. Who came here as God's example? Huh? Jesus. He's our example. And he wants us to do exactly what Jesus did. Including the healings, including the laying on of hands, including praying, including in going out and evangelizing, including feeding the hungry, taking care of the poor. Everything that Jesus did was for the glory of God. Everything. And too many times we spend too much time, not that you can't, you have to, we live in a society that we have to work to meet our needs. So we meet our needs, but we get wrapped up in meeting our need that we forget about what Jesus called us to do. Are you hearing me? You see, we get so wrapped up, oh, I don't have time for this, and I don't have time for that. Don't have time for prayer. Don't have time to evangelize. Don't have time to go take care of the poor. Don't have time to go visit the sick in the hospital. How many times have you said that? Hello? Hello? I'm just speaking truth because I was there. I was there. I was into me. I was into me, 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 me. Everything was for me. All the time I had was for me or my wife or my children. And let's go have a good time. And you know, the things of God were something that was just, that's for everybody else. Until God touched my heart. And even then I was still with my children, my family. That was important to me. Until what? Until a transformation took place. Until I believed Jesus so much and loved him so much that he became number one in my life. You have to have God as, well, let's say the triune. God has to be first in your life. If God takes second place in any area of your life, you've got it all mixed up. He's got to be first at your work. He's got to be first in church. He's got to be first in everywhere and anything that you do. He's got to be first. If he is not first, he's out of place. And it won't work right. It's almost like when your husband say, I love my wife. Well, you say you love her, but is she number one in your life? Or does she come after work? Does work come first before your wife? Or does work come first before your husband? Are you hearing me? You see, anything that you put around, some people put their children before God. You see, and all those things that you put before God are idols in your life. You're setting up idols for you. You put your children first, they're idols. They come before God. Oh, but Pastor, that's normal. You know, you put your children first. No, no. What is normal, you put God first, and he'll give you the love to love your children right. Amen. See, without God's love working inside of you and you accepting that kind of love, you will bring up your children incorrectly. Because you'll bring them up with the feelings of your heart, the way you want to bring them up, not the way God wants you to bring up your children. We don't have to go too far. Just go outside, read the newspaper, turn on the news, and you have thousands and thousands and thousands of children going the wrong way. Not thousands, millions of children. Because I'm not talking about the United States. This is a sickness all over the world. And this is the deception that the devil has put into the house of God. It's a true, true deception. When we change things around out of the order of God. And when you put your children first, and I don't mean you set your children up and you go to church and you forget about your children. No. If you do it right with God, you'll do it right with your children. You see, I remember when somebody told me, you know, that you got to love God more than your wife and your children. I remember those days when I was about first came into the church, and he said, "No, I'm not gonna love God more than I love my wife and children." Well, as I grew in the knowledge of God, and as I grew in the love of God, I realized that I loved my wife even more than I loved her before. But God was now first. And he filled me up with so much love, I had plenty to give my God and my wife and my children and everybody around me. When you love God first, you've got so much love to touch so many people, so many lives. And you know, you look at the people and how they live, right? You know how you know that you don't belong there? When you go there and you look at the circumstances rather than what God wants you to do. See, I can't tell you how many people we've taken into those impoverished areas all over the world. And the first thing they notice, oh, where's the bathroom? Oh, where's the toilet paper? Oh, we're going to wash my hands. Where am I going to stay? What about the hotel? Where are we going to stay? And then, you know, I usually take people to some nice hotels, but the ones we went down in San Quintin, I mean, those are old rooms, but right on the water. And those were rooms that there was nothing to the room. That was the worst room I could give you there. So, but we've been to places worse than that. I've been to places where they don't have toilets. And I asked the pastor, where do I go to the bathroom? Out back. So I go out back. He says, yeah. Where's the toilet? It's all yours. And while you're going to the toilet, these kids come around. Look at us. I'm telling you, we've been to some real crazy places. And you see, that is why I love to go on mission trips, because it beats up my flesh. It beats it up, and it beats it up until those desires are not there anymore. I enjoy everything God has given me. I enjoy every blessing, every promise He's given me. Everything. I want to enjoy it, have the joy of the Lord in me. But I'm not going to stop going out and touching those lives. Those who are hungry and need a touch from God. Because you're the one who God is going to use. So let's talk about the Great Commission. Go with me to Matthew 28. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Everybody there? Matthew 28, verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, mighty God. Thank You, Lord, O precious God, this morning. I thank You, mighty God, for what You're going to do through Your Word. I pray that these words that I speak, the oracles of Your Word, O precious God, will sink deep into the hearts of the people that are listening. I thank You, mighty God, for every son and daughter that is sitting here right now. I pray that this will electrify them and get them up and get them going, Father, in bringing Your love to so many around the world. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And in Matthew 28, verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed them." Boy, that's a great thing. Jesus owned everything, right? And he appointed an entire mountain for them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. Notice Him, they were worshipping them there. They recognized Jesus as their Lord. That's what you do when you worship God. You recognize, you are publicly saying with your praises, with your mouth, you are saying, "I recognize You as my Lord in my life." You see, so many people know of God. They know of Jesus. They say they've been saved by the name, but Jesus is not your Lord. And until you make Him Lord over your life, He is over everything in your life, you're still going to go back and forth. You're going to battle. You're going to battle with it, and you're going to be wishy-washy. Because you need to know that you know that you know that all the benefits, every promise, every blessing that God has given. Whoa. That's my hearing aid. Can you imagine? I need a moment. I need to lower it. See, I got my own personal feedback. Carry it around. Amazing, you know, now you can lower your hearing aid through this thing. It is amazing. Now when I know how to do it, you know. Oh, I got a call from, no. come on, let's go. It was only the beep that did it. Oh, it's amazing, I'm telling you.
Technology now.
Before, you walk around with false arms, false ears, false eyes. You got everything walking around. You could be a robot, you know, what do they call that? That bionic man, remember that? Oh, that's $5 million man. So when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. Can you imagine that? Jesus being in your midst and you are doubting that He is Lord? You're doubting what He came here for? People of God do this even today. We doubt God. We put more into lawyers and doctors and more trust into friends and relatives and butchers and who knows, and your barbers. You do a lot of talking when you're a barber, right? You're getting your hair cut and they're talking about all their problems to you. And they're cutting your hair, and then when they get angry, there goes some of your hair. Hallelujah. But you see, some of us put that kind of trust. You know, I used to be in sales for many years, for over 45 years, and I used to love when somebody, we were talking about finances, we were talking about money being invested in God, life insurance and all kinds of big money. And they would tell me, I need to talk to my friend before I buy. Well, who's your friend? I'd like to talk to him. Well, he's a butcher down the street. A butcher? What's a butcher got to do with all this? What's a butcher have to do with your finances? I thought he was going to tell me he was going to talk to a financial counselor or somebody in the finance business. No, I talked to my butcher. I mean, it is the funniest thing that people do. They even want to talk to non-Christians about God. I mean, it's an incredible thing. What you see going on in the body of Christ today. We don't trust God's word anymore. What is it that you just got? An article? Where some churches are even taking the word of God out of the church. Woo! I said, what's going on here? Can you imagine taking the word of God out of the church? I remember early on in our walk with God, we were invited to a Bible study, and we go to the Bible study. Oh, no Bibles here. No Bibles here. What do you mean? No Bibles. This is called a Bible study. We bring the Bible to study. He said, no, we'll give you the notes. Well, whose notes? It was their notes. Notes that they put together. Well, how do I know they were right? You won't know if they're right unless you come in there with a Bible. Unless you know the Word of God. That's how you discern and know that what you're hearing is correct. Because the Holy Spirit will do something in you when it's not right. Have anybody ever been there? That somebody says to you something wrong and go, that won't feel right. That don't sound good. I mean, all you have to do is talk to a Seventh-day Adventist, talk to a Jehovah's Witness, or a Mormon. Let him talk for about 5 minutes. You know you should go, something is going to go wrong. Because they don't believe in the God that you believe in. They sound like they believe in the same God, but they don't. Now look at what he says here. He says, but some doubted, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. Not just some, not half, not three quarters, all authority. All authority. Whose authority? God's authority. It was given to Jesus, not only here on this earth, but in heaven. So everything, he had authority over everything. And I mean everything. You know who created everything, right? Yeah. It was Jesus. Yeah. Jesus created everything, and then he had authority over everything in both heaven and in earth. And he says here, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. That word nations means people. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. What do we call this? We call this the Great Commission, not the Great Recommendation. And this is not a little advice, you take it or you don't take it. This is the Great Commission that God has given to each and every child of his. Well, Pastor Lou, you know, I don't know everything in the Bible. He didn't say you had to know everything in the Bible to go. You might have to know more to teach it. You might have to know more to teach it, to teach it to others. But that's why he made some teachers, some pastors. Huh? So you have people that are gifted to teach. Doesn't mean that you are a teacher, but you can give the basic of Jesus Christ to just about 99.9% of people. You, if you call yourself a child of God, you've got the power, you've got the authority, and the knowledge to speak of Jesus' salvation. You already have it, each and every one of you, right here. Unless you're not saved. If you're not saved, we will work on that today. We'll make sure you don't leave here unsaved. Amen? You already have it. So the Great Commission is yours. It's already yours. When you accepted Jesus, you accepted everything that was spoken of by Jesus, through Jesus, and for you in this life, here and now. When you get to heaven, we're not going to have to save anybody up there. You know that, right? You know, don't get to the point where you believe some of the Catholic stuff where we have a purgatory. Remember, there's no purgatory. There was such a thing, some like purgatory. They didn't call it purgatory. They call it the heaven where people went. It wasn't heaven. What do they call that? What is that? Abraham's bosom. And that's where people went in the Old Testament. Because they didn't go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. Those are the ones that were set free when Jesus came, and they all went into heaven. They were waiting around. But at the New Testament, we don't have that. You're either in or you're out. Your dues are paid or they're not paid. And the Great Commission is for each and every one of us, brothers and sisters. And it's a hard thing not to do what God tells you to do. It makes you're incomplete when you don't. You're incomplete when you disobey God, and one of the most important things for the kingdom of God. You see, he clearly shows us here that his main purpose in the kingdom is to grow it. That's his main purpose, is to grow his kingdom. God loves you. Do you hear? Do you know that? Do you know that God loves you?
Yes.
Are you sure? The amen is a little weaker now. This section get a little weaker here. Do you know that God loves you?
Amen.
That's five. That's good. Five is getting better. Let's do something for about a half a minute. Is that okay with you? Say this. God
loves
me.
Me.
Now do it on your own. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves me. God loves me. God. Do that. Whenever you feel down and out, begin to say that to yourself. In a car, you could do that anywhere. God loves me. He's so great and so good. He loves me. Ooh, that makes me feel good. You see, when you're down and out and you begin to do that, your spirit man just comes up. It's almost like when you're down and you start to pray in tongues. Well, the whole purpose of tongues is to edify your spirit. I mean, we can pray in tongues as well, but most of the time we're edifying our spirit. We're edifying the spirit man within us to take us up, man, make us feel good, make us feel powerful, make us take the authority that Jesus said we have. Amen?
Thank you.
Don't get sour on me. Now, you sounded good when you said God loves me. Now you're sounding like, oh, yeah, okay, man. And what I like here is he says, and lo, I am with you always. How long is he with us?
All the time, yes.
No matter where you are, when the doctor tells you you got cancer, you're going to die, he's with me always. Your dog just died, he's with me always. Oh, boy. Some people cry more over a dog than they do with Oh, hallelujah. Go with me. Go with me to the great commandment. And that is Matthew 22. Go over to Matthew 22. And we're going to begin here in verse 31. Matthew 22, verse 31. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? And God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Are you hearing me? If you are dead, you're either in heaven or you're in hell. This is not a waiting game. There's no second chance for you. You know, you don't get to bring your grades up when you die. You go right to either heaven if you're a child of God, or you're going to go to hell. There's no middle ground. So he says, I'm not the God of the dead, but of the living. Oh, man. You can count on your Father. He's going to be with you no matter what you're going through. He's going to be right there with you. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Can you imagine that? They were astonished just because he said that God was the God of the living. You're thinking, I would find it more strange when somebody says he's the God of the dead. What would be the purpose of being the God of the dead? You're dead. You have no power. You have no authority. You can't do nothing. You're dead. Hello? God is the God of the living. That's you and me. He's our God, and he's going to be right there with us to guide us through. And it says here, and when the multitudes heard, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, and they, you know, the Sadducees, you know who the Sadducees were? They don't believe in an afterlife. That's the whole thing about the Sadducees. They think this is it. You know, I wondered that when I first saw that word, the Sadducees. And I said, who is that? And, you know, I went to a Jewish friend that I had. He said, what are the Sadducees? You know, what is it that you believe? And he told me, he says, we don't believe in afterlife. This is it. Whatever we have here, we got it. This is it. Well, you're going to die with all your toys. This is going to happen. That's it, where you're going to go. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees and gathered together, then one of them, a lawyer, asked the question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Everything in you must love the Lord God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Every part of you, the thoughts, your heart, the thoughts of your heart, your mind, your soul, everything, you must love God with it. Everything. And this is why I say, God doesn't want no half this and half that, or a quarter of this or a quarter of that. No, he wants it all. And you know the advantage that we have when we love him that way? He's always with us. God is always with us. When you love God that way and you do everything for him and you watch your life to do all that God has commanded you to do. And when you do that and you obey and you do, is it comfortable? I'm sure you didn't find it comfortable going to that neighborhood, right? It's not comfortable. Your flesh is probably screaming out, what in the world am I doing here? When you first, man, the devil will throw everything at you when you go into an area of poverty where lots of people are poor and they stink and the smell that goes on there because they don't have running water or they don't have toilets. They don't have what we have here. The devil knows exactly where your weak spots are, and he's going to go right to them. I mean, when I remember when I was first taking people into San Quintin and we did our very first crusade, I mean, that place stunk. And I mean, it stunk. I mean, there were bathrooms that were all backed up, everything. I mean, it was nasty. We had a group of about, I don't know, I don't even remember, 20, 25 people that went with us that day, that trip to do that crusade. And, I mean, the electricity, it would go out whenever it would go out whenever it wanted to go out. We'd have it on, poop, there it went. And so we asked I don't forget who we went to. You know, you've seen them, electrical boxes in poor countries. They're just a little box. And they got a million wires coming in there from the whole country. Everybody's jumping in, right? This thing had like just one little cable for that whole building. And when we plugged it in, oh, the light went on. But we didn't know how long it was going to stay there. And so we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and the light never went out during the service. But you see, the stink, and people said, are we really going to have the meeting in here? Yeah. Why not? I mean, we've got a roof over our heads, and we got one light.
We cleaned it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We had to get in there, and we cleaned it up. Well, that's what they sell Pine Sol for, right? Doesn't everybody use Pine Sol and all the other stuff? We had gallons of Pine Sol. I mean, this place was about 3,000 square feet big. I mean, it was huge. And we're in there, and we're cleaning up that plate. But boy, it smelled great afterwards. But you know what they had inside? Pigeons. And there was pigeon poop all over the place. And while the service was gone, the pigeons were still there. We got out a bunch of them, but they were still there. I'm telling you, you know, you learn to love God and trust God and those kind of things. You know, we had over hundreds of people got saved and during those crusades. Hundreds. I remember one lady that was in the church, and again, we don't know what's going on because we're up front and we're believing for God and we're just praising and worshiping and asking people to come up front and for prayer, for healing and all that kind of stuff. And one of the ladies after the service told me she had two sons and both were going in to have tonsillectomies on Monday. And this was Saturday. I think it was Saturday, Friday or Saturday. Anyway, and they were both going in to have tonsillectomies. She tells me after the service, Pastor, you should have been here. Did you see that cloud all around you? Now, sometimes I get a little, it's a cloud. I didn't see no cloud. But, you know, it's not what I see. It's what other people see. You see? And they saw a cloud, and both of the boys started to talk and started to, without any problem or nothing. They never took. They did. Clean. No tonsillectomies were done. I'll tell you one better story. The gold teeth story. Gold teeth. Anybody remember those? Where people were taking, people were getting to gold teeth? Okay. That's another one I say, well, okay, whatever you say, man. I believe you. If you say you got it, fine. Somebody came out of the service saying that they had bad teeth and God had put gold teeth in them. And I said, well, praise God. If you believe it, I'll go with it. But, I don't know. But I've got to tell you, it was more than one person. And from different places. And I said, okay, whatever you want to do, Lord. You know, you learn so much when you trust God. I'm telling you, you don't know if that was true or not, but I'll just choose to believe. If it wasn't true, they're the only ones who suffer for it. But I got to tell you something. When God shows up and people get healed, and I remember this one little boy. He broke my heart. And I asked him, so why are you come? What did you come up for? What did you get healed from? From being a bad boy. He just broke my heart in two. He says, I'm such a bad boy in school. But God broke me of that. I don't know where he is today. I pray he's serving God. You know, because at that age, everybody could be considered a bad boy or a bad girl, you know, whatever. The little things that you do, you're disobedient. You know, you're always doing the wrong thing sometimes. But that little boy broke my heart. I don't know where he is today, but I just pray that he's in the kingdom of God. But you see how simple people are? That's how simple people, God made people. What did you get saved of? Of being a bad boy. Just a little simple thing that just connects with you in an instant. That's all God cares. You see, he came for us who believe like who? Like little children. I'm telling you, it is the greatest experience in your walk with God when you share God with those who need it. Even those who are saved. Those who are saved and those who are not saved even more. They need what you have. That love that God has in you, they need that love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love. Love, 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 love. And the second is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophet. The Ten Commandments is not for you. The Ten Commandments was for the Old Testament people and for those today who don't know God. Are you hearing me? The Ten Commandments are not for you as a child of God. Because your commandments are right there. Those two. If you do this, you will fulfill all of the Ten Commandments. If you just do this, you will fulfill it all. Because if you walk in the love of God, you will fulfill every one of them. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, in other words, whatever you do for you, you do for your neighbor. If you invite your neighbor over for a steak, a barbecue steak, like today, you know, or tomorrow, and you give him a hamburger while you're having steak, not good. You'd be better off giving him the steak and you have the hamburger. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
There's a big difference. You see, sometimes we want to buy gifts at Christmas time. Well, if it's a close friend, would you spend $50 on him or her? Or you're going to think about, what would you do for yourself? Would you spend $50 on yourself? Would you spend $100 on yourself? We're assuming this is a close friend, not somebody that you hardly know. Are you getting me? What would you do for yourself? You spend $100 on yourself and then go spend $10 on a gift for somebody else that's close to you? Boy, that's a big one. Because we tend to love ourselves more than anybody else. It's a tendency of this flesh. That's why you have to spank your flesh every day.
Yeah.
Quiet. When the flesh speaks to you, spank it. No more. What does God say about this situation? We tend to love our flesh more than anybody else. We protect it. We guide it. Sometimes we're guided too much by the flesh. And we're supposed to be guided by His Word. His Word is what's going to lead us into the right place.
That's right.
You walk in love and you love your neighbor as yourself, you fulfill all of the Ten Commandments. Remember, the Ten Commandments is under the law. We are not under the law. We are under grace. And all Jesus made it very clear, you just love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you love your neighbor as yourself. You fulfill it all. Jesus made it so easy for us.
Yes.
So easy. Can you imagine living under the Ten Commandments? And then if you do one, if you fail at one, you fail at all of them? You talk about having order in the church, huh? I mean, you couldn't. You could not. It was impossible to do it. Because if you failed at one, you failed at all. So you can try, and there are cults out there. There are churches today who would rather live by the Ten Commandments. The Seventh-day Adventists do it all the time. They live under this is funny because they like to live under the law, and then they like to live under the grace. You can't have both. It's one or the other. God doesn't split Himself up between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We live under grace. We live under the New Testament. We live under that love umbrella that Jesus has given us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the last one is the great compassion. Go to Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 30 to 44. Are we there? Everybody with me?
Yes.
Mark 6, 30 to 44. And then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. One thing that you see clearly here is that when you minister, when you do the work of the gospel, you will get tired. While you're doing it, you will not be tired at all. The Holy Spirit will carry you until the end, until you finish it. And when you finish it, then when you go back into your flesh, oh, you feel like going to sleep, you're tired. I mean, you will get tired because you do so much. The Holy Spirit will use you and use you and use you and use you. And it's not in your strength you're doing anything. The Holy Spirit is doing it all. Are you getting me?
Yes.
You have to walk it out in the flesh, but the Holy Spirit is the one doing it through you. Are you getting? Are you hearing me? But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. How many sheep? Or let me say this. How many people have you seen or you run into daily that don't know Jesus? And you have the compassion or the desire to bring Jesus to them. Is it easy? No. You see, because if you're not walking in the Great Commandment and all that other stuff, in the Great Commission, if you're not walking in all of that, it's going to be real difficult for you. Because if you're not walking in the love of God, if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you won't have the discernment to know that that person needs your help. Are you hearing me? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to pull you in. What was it that Jesus said in his writings? He said, nobody comes to me unless the Father brings him. Isn't that something? Yet there were thousands going after Jesus, right? One began to get, one healed, one fed, thousands. They saw the power of God at work through Jesus. That's why you have all authority has been given to you to lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. Lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on people who are depressed, oppressed. I mean, there's probably 100 different things that you can lay hands on people for. But the most important thing that will bring that lost person to you is your love for him. Are you hearing me? It's not just your caring, it's your love for him or her. Looking at him or her and saying, I need to help you. I need to do something for you. Establishing a rapport with that person. Establishing a care, a love for caring for what's hurting that person. You know, a person that's going through a divorce or with children problems, I mean, there are a million problems that you can dive into and help someone out. Does that mean you know everything? No. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what's wrong with that person. That's why you have to just leave yourself open to whatever God wants to do through you. And don't run from it. Run towards the person God pointed out to you. There are people you work with. There are people you live near. There are people all over the place that you need to know who they are. You need to know who they are and what's going on so you can help them. Every one of you. Every one of you. And I've said it 100 times before, your age has no barrier. It has no limits. You can minister as a child, or you can minister as a elderly person. I was going to say old, but elderly sounds better, right? Amen? We all are instruments in the hands of God when we do it His way. When God wants to do something, He will use you. Don't look around as to who's going to use. He's looking at you. If you're the only one there, you better ask God, what do you want me to do? Having a discerning spirit will help you see problems and feel the hurt and the pain of other people. It doesn't take long. When somebody's hurting, you'll know it. When somebody's sick, you're going to know it. When there are marital problems, they're going to know it. When they got problems with their children, you're going to know it. Something goes wrong in that person, particularly people who are not saved. Oh, my God. Their problems are on them. You can see it. Many of their problems are in their mouth and on them. Because they need to talk about it. They need to talk and talk and talk and talk to someone who will listen. And you have a great answer. And His name is Jesus. When the day was now spent, His disciples came to Him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But He answered them and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Five loaves and two fish. That was it. For 4,000 people or 5,000 people. I think it was more than 5,000 because it said there was 5,000 men. Just the men. And those guys didn't travel by themselves. They had children. This was a different time. The Savior had come onto the scene. And they were following Him from place to place to place. And then some were following. Why? Because He fed them. They followed the miracle and because He fed them. He told them, "I know why you're following me, because I fed you. Not because of the great miracles you saw, because I fed you." In today's world, we can use that feeding capacity to our benefit, to the kingdom benefit, to the benefit of the kingdom, for you, to help you minister to people who have a need. Whether it be food, whether it be clothing, just like what you did over there in the Philippines, or are doing in the Philippines. The very same thing that you're doing there, but everybody has to do that. You got to do it there, and you do it here. Do it here, and it'll make that even more prosperous. You'll make that work over there more prosperous when you do it here. Because here, God will begin to work with you and train you and take you to where you haven't been before. Are you hearing me? So it's the great what? The great commission, the great commandment, and the great compassion. Just like Jesus was moved when He saw those people who were lost, when He saw the mother who was burying her son, and Jesus cried. When He cried at Lazarus, when he knew he was dead. That speaks of compassion within us. It speaks of God's compassion, not a fleshly compassion. It speaks of something that's internal, that's within you, that God wants to use to touch other people's lives. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
God loves you. God loves you so much that He wants to help you to do what He wants you to do.
Thank you, Lord.
God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always by our side. He's always teaching. He's always training. He's always taking care of you. He's always soothing you. He's always, you know, you're always in His heart. If you're a child of God, you're always in His heart. He is not going to take His eyes off of you. Because, see, he sees you as the finished product. He doesn't see you where you are today. He sees you as the finished product. He sees you as that child of God that he wants you to be. When we go to heaven, we don't know how many people are going to be there, but there's going to be a whole lot. You're going to know people that you... They're going to know people. You're going to know people that you knew here. Not the ones that are in hell. I'm talking about the ones that are in heaven. You're going to know them. We're going to recognize them. But up there, we won't be known as brother and sister or husband and wife, uncles and aunts. No, we're all one. There's no gender up there. But we know one thing, and we know it now, is that he has given us his word. He has given us his love. He has given us his authority. He has given us every tool that we need to accomplish his work here. To accomplish his work in our marriages. To accomplish his work where we work. To accomplish his work with our children. To accomplish his work wherever we go. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you are. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with doing what he has told us to do. And it is these three great commandments. I mean, if you just take these three great commandments and you just study them and study them and study them day and night, that'll get you a long way into the ministry of God. Are you hearing me? Because the most important one is love. Without love, you're not going anywhere. Without love, you are not going anywhere. That is what begins to not only open up your heart, but it opens up the heart of others towards you and Jesus. Everybody with me?
Amen.
So you all know what you got to do when you leave here today? No? You don't know yet? How could that be? We just spent a whole lot of time here. Brothers and sisters, if I've learned anything in my long years of serving the Lord, is that God will never leave you. He's always wherever you are. And I've learned to just trust him as much as I know how with my faith. I just went through this battle, you already know it, with this cancer. Boy, that just blew me up. Blew me up. You know, when you think God loves you, but then when he shows you, wow, you think wrong. There's more. There's more love there. There's more compassion. There's more of everything there. And when you get that and you feel that, you don't want to do nothing but give it away to others. You see, it's not for us to keep. It's for us to give it to someone else. The more we give it away, the more we get. Give it away, get more. Give it away, get more. Give it away, get more. Why don't we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Am I to assume correctly that everybody here, everybody who's in this room, has already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is that true? Is there anybody here who has not done that? Anybody here who has not done that, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because that's the key that unlocks everything else. Without Jesus, you don't have a key to unlock it. But with Jesus, we have the key to unlock the entire kingdom of heaven right here on this earth. Okay, so we'll assume that everybody here is saved, and I pray that everybody is. If you've got anything in you, I don't want you to come up here. If you've got anything going on in your body right now in terms of sickness or disease, just raise up your hand. Just raise it. If you've got any sickness or disease in your body right now, come on. Anybody? Got two, three, four, five. Okay. Blessed Heavenly Father, I want you that are near, where their hands are up, you people that are near where they are. No, I don't want them to come up. I want them to stay right where they are. But I do want those around those with their hands up to go over and lay hands on them. Please. 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 Just go over on those who have their hands up. Get some behind here. Get some people here.
Thank you.
Brother, can you go over there? They need some people over there. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jesus. I do this so that you know. So that you know that it's between you and God. Heavenly Father, I give you the praise and the glory, and I thank you, mighty God, for each and every individual in this house, oh precious God, that's here right now. And even those who are not here. And I thank you, mighty King, that right now the Holy Spirit is going around just touching each and every one of them. He's touching them with their needs, oh precious God. I thank you, mighty God, that they're being touched by the Holy Spirit. That healing is going through their body. Through the top of their heads, through the bottom of the planes of their feet, oh mighty God. And I thank you, precious Jesus, that you're touching them, mighty God, in a great way. And their mind, their soul, and their spirit, oh mighty God, is being touched by you, oh mighty King. And I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, right now, for what you're doing in each and every one of their bodies. For back pains, for stomach pains, head pains, heart pains, whatever it may be, oh mighty God. Whatever it might be that they need, oh mighty God. There is nothing too big for you.
Amen.
And you love us, so we know that, oh precious God. And because you love us, we can depend on your love, Father. Your love to touch us, oh mighty God. In a very real way, Almighty King. And so I give you the praise, I give you the glory, and I thank you, mighty God, for those who have their hands up, for them to receive what they need, Almighty God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that healing spirit is going around. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Rabbi Shingan Nalalahaiko Prabhupada Rabbi Kishko Prabhupada. Those of you who had your hands up, I just want you to take a step of faith right now. And whatever it is you couldn't do before, whatever it was that was in your body that you couldn't move your arm or your leg or whatever, or your hand, just start moving it. Start taking a step of faith and start believing that God has already touched you in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Take that step of faith. Take that step of faith. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, He's a good God. Oh, yes, we serve a good God. Glory, glory, glory. Honey, you got anything? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Pastor?
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have communion, but the Word of God reminds us not to take this lightly. You know, the message is so clear as far as how God loves us so much. I believe that's the main theme of what was shared today. It's that love is so personal. When we were asked to repeat it, God loves me. We have to make that choice to receive the love of God. All the commandments, it's based on learning how to receive God's love and experiencing the Lord in our lives. When we obey His commandments, we do it out of love for Him. And so, I'm going to say this, but, you know, when the Word of God says today is the day of salvation, we would always give everyone an opportunity to make that decision for Christ. It's not being asked to join into an organization, but the Word of God says, come to me, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today and receive the love of the Father in Christ and recognize that, Jesus, I have sinned, I failed. My sins have separated me from you. I don't understand much about what the Bible says, but this will be my starting point. This will be my starting point, and that is to receive the love of God through you, Jesus, as I come to you and humbly say this prayer and believe with all of my heart that that love is for me. That the love of God will change me. That the love of God will change my life the way I would see my life. Not just here, but even life after this earthly life. The gift of eternal life. And so when the Word of God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I give you this word today, so if there's someone who would like to make that decision, the Lord is not here to embarrass anyone, but He's here looking for the heart that is ready to receive His love and His forgiveness. So if you're that person, you can do it lifting up your hand or lifting up your heart, and I would like to ask you to follow me in this very simple prayer. And mean it from your heart. Just believe as we come to Him in prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. Just as I am. Recognizing that I have sinned against you. And that my sins have separated me from you. But thank you, Father God, that you sent Jesus to die on that cross on my behalf. I receive your forgiveness today. Thank you for your most precious blood that you shed on that cross for me. Thank you for loving me. And I receive your forgiveness today. Now I know that you love me, that you are now my Savior, and help me to obey you from this day on through your Holy Spirit. In your holy name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Before I ask the ushers to distribute the elements, allow me to read the portion of the scriptures today from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. As we ask the ushers to distribute the elements, and we're going to partake communion together. Amen. Brother, let's have Brother Jim. Brother Chun, can you play? Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for this time you've given us, that in obedience to what our Lord Jesus said, to do this and to remember what he has done for us on that cross. Today we make that declaration of what we believe in our hearts, that Lord Jesus, because of your broken body and the blood that you shed on that cross for us, we appropriate these blessings that you have given us, healing to our bodies, healing to our souls, the gift of salvation, that through the blood of Jesus we are made whole. No other provision that you have given except the blood of Jesus, your Son, that we are cleansed from all of our unrighteousness. That through the blood of Jesus, we have access to your presence, Father God. That we can approach you with confidence and boldness, God. Not because of anything that we have done, because we can never boast of anything apart from you. Jesus, today we say thank you for your perfect sacrifice at that cross. We thank you for loving us so much, O God. And the promise of what was shared today, a declaration that when you are with us, you are always with us till the end of time. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, oh God. We thank you even for the joy that we begin to experience knowing that our sins have been forgiven. We thank you for the peace of your presence, oh God. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. You are our eternal guide. You guide us every step of the way in every aspect of our lives to know that the God who loves us is with us. That the God who loves us is here to help us overcome things that come our way. That the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us, O God, to obey your word, not like dragging our feet, but Lord, with that love in our hearts for you, to love the people around us, to love our loved ones, our family members, people in church, people outside the church, to have love for others who need you, Jesus. And so, Lord, today, as you have given to us, reminded us of the great commission, the great commandment, and the great compassion, God. As we partake of our communion today, let the reality of your presence in our lives, Lord God, flow upon the lives of your people today. That truly we would say that Jesus is alive. Yeah. Alive in me, alive in all of us, alive in your church, oh God. And so, Lord, as we partake this bread, reminded of your broken body, you willingly gave your body for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the unity even in the body of Christ as we partake this this bread, thanking you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done at that cross as we partake the bread. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your most precious blood, Lord Jesus, that now we know that we have this freedom in Christ, delivered from the bondages of sin. We thank you, Jesus, for your most precious blood that brings wholeness in our lives, that we may serve you all the days of our lives. And this is our prayer, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Let's partake the cup. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for the blessed hope that we have that you're coming back for us, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for a while. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. What a blessed time for us to come together. Amen. And we're going to take a second offering because, you know, it's an opportunity for us, for all of us, always to have this time to come together, to honor him, to listen to the word of God, ministered with the word of God. And we're thankful for Pastor Lou and Pastor Ayida for their continuous partnership in the work of the Lord. Amen. And so we're going to take a second offering for them and for their ministry. Amen. If you're issuing a check, just make it to the New and Living Way Church. Amen. And as we call on the ushers for the offering, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Brother, praise be to God, church. Let's fill this place with rejoicing tonight.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And so let's all rise up as we thank the Lord for this time. Amen. And we're grateful to the Lord always. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen. Praise God. He's worthy of our praise. Worthy to be served. And always have this expectation of the greater things to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, what a day that we can celebrate your goodness, your faithfulness, and above all, your love for us, oh God. Father God, we thank you for your word that is a powerful reminder for all of us of what life is really all about. That it's all about you. The starting point always is you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father God, we pray that, Lord, you would cause your light to shine upon the lives of your people. We thank you, Lord, oh God, even as we ask that, Lord, you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord God. In the days coming, Lord God, that, Lord, it would be the love of God and the power of God flowing through the lives of your people, oh God, that, Lord, you would use us to share your love to so many who needs the love of God so desperately, Lord God. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us, that, Lord, cause your blessings to flow through the lives of all of us, oh God. And what a great, the joy that we have, oh God, in serving you, in knowing you in our lives, oh God. And Lord, even the time together, the fellowship, Lord God, and even as we partake meal, our lunch together, Lord, your presence be in our midst, that we will continually talk about your goodness and your love for us, oh God. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you even for the hedge of protection upon your people, oh God. For another time that you would cause us to come together, Lord God, once more, lifting up the name of our Lord Jesus, oh God. We give you the highest praise that is due you alone. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bless the Lord together. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
A king clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoiced.
Amen. There's only one God, Jesus.